All right, Doug, here we are in the top secret place that only special people can access.
These are very special people, Mike.
They are very, very special people. So we're going to do the mudslide round. And here's how it works. I've got some questions, and you're going to answer them any way you see fit. So the first question is, you ready for this?
I don't know.
I've really played this up. It's not nearly as complicated as you might be imagining. What is your favorite book of the Bible and why?
I don't know if I could explain why, but if I want to read a book of the Bible that I can easily comprehend and get something edifying, I usually go to the book of Colossians.
Colossians is good. Yeah, I like Colossians.
Yeah, there's a few passages in there that speak to the... choose my words carefully here because it would lead people to think I am one way or another, but the universal application of the salvation message.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's cool. All right. If you could eliminate just one government department, what would it be?
What are you, Rick Perry? Like, I'm supposed to pick five, aren't I?
No, you've got to pick one. There's a right answer to this question, too.
There is a right answer. Well, it's not. I mean, the right answer would be the Federal Reserve.
Correct.
But since that's not officially a government department, I would say
it is so too.
You and I know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, people want to try to. Oh, it's a private corporate. It's chartered by the government.
You.
It's run by the government. The government picks it. It's a government agent. But anyway, you get to pick your own.
It would be the
Don't
Fed.
Let Mary influence you here.
Yeah. It would be the Fed because the second one that it would greatly influence was the War Department.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really the right name for it.
Exactly. And that, you know, my initial answer to that question when I was very first posed to me was it was Department of Defense, which you're right, it should be the War Department.
Our great-grandchildren, Mike, should be shopping at the Pentagon Mall.
Yes. But if you didn't have the Fed, then you wouldn't be able to have the money to do the war thing. So
I think Elon Musk should buy the Pentagon and then privatize it.
I'll tell you what. Elon, I don't know what to think about him owning Twitter, but I kind of feel about him the same way I did Trump. It's just amusing to watch him troll everybody.
It is. Yeah, I think Elon Musk has a lot better head on his shoulders than Donald Trump does.
I would hope so. Anyway, okay. So Murray Rothbard has said that everybody is allowed one deviation, right? Mm. You're allowed one idea that is just outside of what should be your framework. One exception to your principles. What is your most unlibertarian view?
My silence is probably revealing that there's probably too many, and I have to pick.
I was gonna think that. Ooh, Doug is such a pure libertarian; he can't even think of a deviation.
No. So for me, I will say this: if I were to allow there to be a law that would not necessarily abide by the non-aggression principle, like in other words, it doesn't qualify as a true law that violates, you know, people. That's the way I would answer this question. So I'm going to twist it around a little bit, but I would say that there are a lot of ways in which I'm not really a libertarian in the way that I admit, okay, well, if that's how we want to do it, we'll compromise and I'll let you have that because then I can do this. Like I'll trade things and be like, you know what? I'll give you universal healthcare if you truly bring all the troops home because we can probably afford it. Right. Like I'll make those concessions, that kind of thing.
That's fair.
However, my answer to this is often, if I were king and I were not a libertarian king, or I can only be a libertarian king except for one area, I would make us take Sabbath off. It is one thing that I truly believe that if everybody actually did, we would have a better society.
I think that's true.
I don't want to force people to do it, but for this question, I will force people to take.
Well, yeah.
This.
I mean, mine.
Of course, then there'll be a black market.
Right. My answer.
Black Sabbath.
My answer is that I would put people in jail for driving slow in the left-hand lane.
All right, I'm changing my answer.
All right,
New Jersey question. Would succeed in a heartbeat.
Yes,
in that world,
because yes.
Everybody's like, "Nope, we're not going to be participant in this."
Exactly. So these get easier. This is where you can really get lightning roundy if you want to. Cake or pie?
Depends, but cake.
Depends on what?
Depends on the two cakes in front of me. If I know who made it, and
I didn't say cake, I said cake or pie.
I know if it's my mom's pie and and someone else's cake, I'll choose my mom's pie. But if it's my mom's cake and my mom's pie, I'll choose cake.
Okay. That's fair. So ultimately, your answer is cake.
Yes.
So it doesn't really depend. The answer is cake. All right.
Yeah. I'll eat the pie too, though.
Well, yeah, of course. I'm the opposite. I'm a pie guy, but I'm not going to turn down a good piece of cake, especially if your mom made it. Pickup truck or sports car?
Pickup truck.
You are by far in the majority of people who have done this. I think
pickup truck. I mean, I guess it depends. Like, if is it like Maserati or a Ferrari?
Well, no, I'm just saying in general. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
dude, my next truck, I hope to one day be able to afford a Cybertruck.
Nice.
Which is less redneck than pickup truck, but you know,
Spike Cohen's the only person that said sports car of the guests.
Okay.
I'm a sports car guy for sure. My wife totally pickup truck. Like, we've talked about this. If we were to win the lottery or something, I'd be in a Ferrari, and my wife would be like a huge dually with the stacks. And
oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mountains or beach?
Oh, definitely the mountains.
Yeah, I figured that. You live in the mountains, kind of, right?
I grew up in the mountains. We had a lot of snow where I grew up, and I would totally move. The country I said in the show, the main show that I would move to, that's not more free per se, is Iceland. I would move there in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Too cold.
Dude, Pennsylvania is too cold for you. You won't even come up here and visit me.
Kentucky is too cold for me. North Florida was too cold for me. Cats, dogs, or no animals in the house?
Definitely dogs. I have both cats and dogs, but definitely dogs.
We've just talked about this. We just answered. You've already answered this question. Would you rather be too hot or too cold? Obviously, you'd rather be too cold if you want to live in freaking Iceland.
I would rather. Okay, so where was it that I read this? I think I was reading it in the new Anthony Dower book, Cloud Cuckoo Land. There's this character who's Russian, who's like, there is no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes. And I was like, yep, there it is. That's why I prefer to live in cold climates, but I don't like being cold. Like, I actually easily. And I would rather have the room just a little bit warmer than most people would. But I like cold climates. So anyway,
I think the whole clothes thing's false.
Well, you know what? You can always keep putting more clothes on and better clothes, but at some point it's too hot. You can't take, even if you took everything off, you're not cooler.
I don't get too hot.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Who is your favorite musician? It can be a band or a solo artist.
Yeah. Stephen Curtis Chapman. I grew up on Stephen Curtis Chapman.
That's cool.
And while I grew up in a relatively conservative Christian environment, there were some bands that I wasn't allowed to listen to because Christian rock music is from the devil.
Oh my gosh.
I would DC Talk was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get to enjoy them until a little bit later into my 20s. But I would say Stephen Curtis Chapman. Yeah, I'm always listening to his album day one. But if I were to also pick a band, I really like the Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh yeah. I like some of their stuff. I can get down with that. Stephen Curtis Chapman for sure. Very, very good songwriter. I mean,
oh yeah.
You know, not even taking him out of the category of Christian music. I'll put his songwriting chops up against about anybody. I was into a lot of the alternative Christian music back in the 80s and early 90s.
Like, what was the one that was like really popular? There was,
if it was really popular, I probably didn't like them.
Audio Adrenaline, like them.
They were a little bit too poppy for me. I was into the punk and the alternative stuff that was coming out of California. Yeah.
That wasn't in my taste.
Yeah. Altar Boys, Undercover, 77s, Adam Again. I can name a bunch of bands where he's like, who?
Wow. Yeah, okay.
All right. This is the last one.
Aw.
Now, we're excluding the Bible from this. Best book you've ever read. And you're a big reader, I know. So this is going to be hard for you.
Oh, this is going to be hard. Best book I've ever read.
You could also, if you want to think of it in terms of maybe most influential, you could look at it that way too.
Oh,
or it could be just most enjoyable. Yeah. Like if
you, you know, because I read so much, it's really tough. Okay, I'm going to pick a novel just because that like totally reduces it down quite a bit. And this is literally, actually, I shouldn't say this. It's the only Stephen King book that I actually understood.
Oh, okay.
Because the first one I read was The Gunslinger, and it was like totally, I just didn't understand it. I got through it, and I'm like, what the heck did I just read? But not that one. 11/22/63.
I've not read that one.
Okay, so it's... The main character finds a way or stumbles upon a way actually to go back in time. And he always goes back in time to the same date in 1963, which is a few weeks or months or something like that ahead of the JFK assassination.
Okay.
And he learns that he can potentially influence that outcome.
Oh, wow.
And it's really good. There's only just a little bit of like gruesomeness in one early scene that's sort of Stephen King-ish. But I remember I read this in May of 2020 on recommendation of a friend who's like, you've not read Stephen King, but you know, if you're not into that kind of horror, whatever genre Stephen King is a genre, then try this book. Well, it's also like 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
And I totally ate it up, and it was really good. It also, I wouldn't say it influenced me in the same way that like some of the, you know, nonfiction books I read have influenced me. But at the same time, it was one that, it moved me in certain ways, and it was just really engaging. It was really funny. It was, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, going back and preventing the Kennedy assassination, which, you know, I won't spoil anything, but it was I like the take that King has on what would happen if he actually accomplished this, because he does sort of go into that a little bit, and I can't say any more, but it's really good. Now, it is a show that was on Hulu. It was like 9 episodes or 8 episodes or something, so if you really want to, I think James Franco. And so if you want to get the shortened version, you don't want to read the book, I would do that. But yeah, that's my fiction book that I would choose.
That's good. I'll have to check it out. I read a lot of Stephen King in the 90s and into the early 00s. I've read probably pretty much most everything that he wrote in his earlier time period.
Oh, in his earlier time. Okay. Yeah. Didn't he retire at some point?
Yeah, I think he did.
And then like a year later, they're like, I'm out.
He retired.
He did Tom Brady.
He's the Tom Brady of writing. Yeah.